You are listening to Larry Connors, USA.
You want answers?
I think I'm entitled.
You want answers?
I want the truth!
You can't handle the truth!
This is Larry Connors, USA. Larry Connors, USA.
The White House had this warning for Vladimir Putin as sham referendums are being held in Ukrainian Russian-held territory. Tread carefully. Four Russian-occupied areas of Ukraine are voting today to join Russia, a move that President Biden says is just a pretext for Moscow to try and annex those territories. Meantime, Putin initiated a mobilization of reservists, sparking protests across Russia. And again, he threatened Ukraine with nuclear weapons.
Now we're going to talk a little bit later about those threats from the White House. You really think Putin is shaking in his boots being threatened by Biden? I don't know. We'll talk more about that reaction. Of course, the referendum to bring in hundreds of thousands of more soldiers from Russia. A lot of battle going on there. Well, hello. Good afternoon. It's Thursday, September 29th. 2022, and I'm Randy Mayfield. I'm filling in today as a guest host for Larry Connors. We are live on KXCN Radio, AM, FM, and we're also streaming on Rumble.com. If you'd like to watch us streaming, I know you can only hear my beautiful voice, but if you'd love to see my handsome face, you can go to Rumble.com and just enter in one word, Larry Connors USA, and you can join the program live. Or you can also watch a past broadcast, and you can watch this broadcast later. And you can go to LarryConnorsUSA.com as well to listen to past broadcasts. So today we're going to cover a lot of topics. There's a lot of things going on in the news. I know some of the hot topics are always going to be inflation. We're going to talk more about what's going on in Florida. That's probably the number one news story right now, Hurricane Florida. I just found out 10 minutes ago that there has been a life lost. At the time, there had been a lot of damage, but no one had died. Two people passed away in Cuba as it went through there, but in the United States, there was no loss of life until just a few minutes ago. We found out that one person had died as a result of the hurricane. We're going to talk about sex trafficking, prison reform, dementia, Alzheimer's and dementia. That's a big topic for me. Some of you know why, and I'll share it with you later. No, I do not have dementia, but I do have family members that have had it and currently have it, so that's important to me. And we're going to chat later this hour with a good friend of mine, Senator Jim Talent, the senator from Missouri. Great man, has a lot of interesting things to say about politics. Well, to start off today, I want to share something just because I got a kick out of it. Some of you know CNN's Don Lemon. Very appropriate name for this guy. But anyway, he was talking with a United Kingdom a royal scholar and commentator in London about reparations for slavery. And he got a little more than he bargained for it. Here's her response.
And then you have those who are asking for reparations for colonialism, and they're wondering, you know, $100 billion, $24 billion here and there, $500 million there. Some people want to be paid back, and members of the public are wondering, why are we suffering when you are, you know, you have all of this vast wealth? Those are legitimate concerns.
Well, I think you're right about reparations in terms of if people want it, though, what they need to do is you always need to go back to the beginning of a supply chain. Where was the beginning of the supply chain? That was in Africa. And when that crossed the entire world, when the slavery was taking place, which was the first nation in the world that abolished slavery? The first nation in the world to abolish it. It was started by William Wilberforce, was the British. In Great Britain, they abolished slavery. 2000 naval men died on the high seas trying to stop slavery. Why? Because the African kings were rounding up their own people. They had them on cages waiting in the beaches. No one was running into Africa to get them. And I think you're totally right. If reparations need to be paid, we need to go right back to the beginning of that supply chain and say, who was rounding up their own people and having them handcuffed in cages? Absolutely. That's where they should start. And maybe, I don't know, the descendants of those families where they died at in the high seas trying to stop the slavery, that those families should receive something too, I think, at the same time.
It's an interesting discussion, Hillary.
I love that. He kind of pauses, and it's an interesting discussion, Hillary. She kind of schooled him on that one. Yeah, let's go back after the African kings. There's a lot of issues about slavery and reparations that we need to address. There's no question about that. But when Lemon's trying to put this British gal on the spot, well, you Brits have a lot of money. Yeah, and they did kind of get the slave trade moving along, but the point is it started somewhere else. I heard a comment that said, calling Don Lemon a journalist is like calling Jeffrey Dahmer a chef. Whoa, too soon? Sorry about that. But anyway, we got a special guest coming up later this hour, my good friend, Senator Jim Talent. So stay with us. As Larry always says, lock and load, ready on the right.
You are listening to Larry Connors, USA.
Your eyes are burning. You're sneezing. It's allergy season. Pollen readings are sky high. Heck, you can even see that yellow powder on everything. So that's also inside your air conditioning ducts. I suggest you call Wellington Environmental. Now, other companies will be glad to do the job, but they're going to come to your home or business, count the air ducts, and begin increasing the cost. In fact, the quoted price might even double. Wellington offers one price, no extras. You'll be charged exactly what Wellington quotes. So this is easy for you. Call 314-644-4930, 644-4930. You will breathe easier. Wellington has a AAA rating with the Better Business Bureau. 314-644-4930, 644-4930. Wellington Environmental, your world cleaner, better, safer. Be well with Wellington.
I want to thank my friends at John Bill Roofing for sponsoring this segment of Larry Connors USA. John Bill Roofing, covering homes, businesses throughout the Midwest with the best quality, lowest price. John Bill Roofing. Call 1-800-NEW-ROOF. 1-800-NEW-ROOF.
This is Larry Connors USA.
Larry Connors USA.
We got a rare admission yesterday from the Kremlin, acknowledging its new military draft to reinforce Russian forces in Ukraine has been rife with problems. The Kremlin spokesman yesterday said there had been irregularities in the call-up due to cases of, quote, non-compliance. But the New York Times reports he tried to shift the blame to local authorities carrying out the mobilization among resistant civilians across the country. This, as the governors of several Russian regions also acknowledged that men who did not meet the defense ministry's criteria are being called up. The authorities' admission came as a gunman who was allegedly distraught over the military mobilization opened fire yesterday at a draft office in Siberia, seriously injuring a recruitment officer. Meanwhile, the president of Kazakhstan, a close ally of Russia, reportedly said yesterday, quote, "In recent days, many people from Russia have been coming to us. Most of them are forced to leave because of the current hopeless situation. We must take care of them and ensure their safety. This is a political and humanitarian issue."
Indeed. It's a joke. It's a joke. It's another Putin plan that is not working. I mean, the war itself was to be over in 4 or 5 days. We're in 7 months now. So now he's calling up anybody and everybody. If you can hold something in your hand, you're going to be conscripted. You're going to be a part of the new military in Russia. A lot of stories in the news right now that you've probably been hearing and following about failures in every area, failures of the machines they're actually using, the tanks, the guns, the missiles, mechanical failures, failures in that the army themselves, people are leaving the country in droves. We're going to talk about that more a little later. And then they have this vote, this referendum that says, the countries that we're taking over, or the areas in Ukraine, they want to be Russian. They want to be with us. So we're going to have a vote. Well, they made the people come out and vote. And, of course, like every vote, if you've ever seen the elections in Russia, Putin wins every election by 99 to 100%. Amazing how that happens over there. And no one, by the way, no one argued that the vote was done illegally. That's just an issue we have here in the States, I guess. Here's the deal, though. So in this referendum where all these votes went through, less than 0.5% of the people, particularly in the area of Zaporizhia, which I know hundreds of people who live there. I've been there many times. Less than 0.5% of the people voted. And yet Russia talks about an overwhelming referendum, these people wanting to leave Ukraine and be a part of Russia. It's a joke. Let's listen to some more clips on this.
The tide clearly has turned, because the success of this offensive, as important as it is itself on the ground, what really is important is that it reflects a hugely important development, a new reality, that Ukraine has been incomparably better than Russia in recruiting, training, equipping, organizing, and employing additional forces, while Russia has been struggling to do just that, literally running out of soldiers, ammunition, tanks, fighting vehicles, and so forth. The Ukraine supported superbly by the U.S. and NATO, whereas Russia, even if it declared mobilization today, could not reverse this fundamental reality. So the implications are stark. They're very, very clear. Ukraine will, over time, and yes, tough fighting, more casualties, more punishing Russian strikes on civilian infrastructure, but Ukraine will, over time, I think, retake the territory that Russia has seized since 24 February. And it's even conceivable now that they could retake Crimea and the Donbass. And oh, by the way, along with what's going on in the front lines, there is insurgent activity now picking up in the Russian rear areas carried out by Ukrainians there as well. So again, this is going to take time. There will be tough fighting, all of that. But this is a disastrous situation for Russia now.
Okay, so that's General David Petraeus with his comments on the disaster that's happening in Russia right now, and truly it is. But then there's some threats, and this is a clip from Lieutenant General Mark Hertling from CNN.
You can't look at the potential use of nuclear weapons as a hollow threat when a nation has those. You have to consider it a threat. And that's what Putin is doing, and he's done it repeatedly. So as much as many people would like to say, oh, he hasn't used them so far, or he's never going to use it, or he's too afraid to use it, if there's even a 1% chance that he might use it, you have to take those kind of threats seriously. And I think the president today at the UN hit a couple of key points in his speech, and one of them was certainly holding Russia accountable and signaling them about the use of nuclear weapons and how it is unacceptable, and how Russia walked away from nuclear nonproliferation talks earlier in their in the UN debates.
Okay, seriously, we're going to be able to hold Russia and Putin accountable? The dude is insane. I mean, this is my opinion. I'm not a psychologist. I'm not a doctor. Well, I am a doctor, but it's a doctor of theology, so I don't know that that counts. But the point is, the man is crazy. And if you think you're going to hold him accountable when he threatens nuclear weapons, yes, he uses a lot of big threats, and he has in the past, and they haven't come through. But like General Hertling just said, you've got to think about it. Even if there's a 1% chance, you've got to think about it. Because when somebody is that crazy and they have their finger on the button and they can change all of mankind, basically, with one stupid move, and he's desperate. The man is desperate. We talked a few weeks back when I was on about he's probably physically ill as well. He's got some some Parkinson's maybe, and some other things going on with him. So he's desperate. He wants to leave a legacy of Russia being the all-powerful. He wants Ukraine back. He wants all the territories of the former Soviet Union back. That's his goal. So to think he's going to take over Ukraine and stop, that's not true. All the other stands and everything else around are going to get taken over eventually if he gets his way. If he goes nuclear, or nuclear, as Bush would say. If he goes nuclear, I mean, that's when NATO has to step in, and that's when it becomes a world war, and we don't want that. So he has threatened, like I said, time and time before. He's failed to deliver. This war is a mess, and unfortunately, Ukrainians are paying the price. And many of you know that my heart is very close to Ukraine because I've been there many times. And some of the cities where I've spoken and sung and done different things in are barely even there. Mariupol destroyed it. The church I was in Mariupol, I saw some pictures of it, and just totally blown off the map. Irpin, the town of Irpin, the seminary where I taught, blown up. They're rebuilding it right now. Zaporozhye, where the nuclear plant is near there. Zaporozhye, we have a sister church there, and I hear from dozens of people every week in Zaporozhye. And Vinnytsia was also bombed. All these places. I mean, Kyiv has gotten some bombing, but Kyiv is, it's the big city in the middle. It's harder to get to, and it's got some defenses, and so it hasn't been as bad, but there have been bombs and missiles that hit the malls there and killed people. And the big problem is this. It's not a military war in the sense military fighting military on the lines. It's Putin coming in with his whatever powers he has and killing children and killing women. He blew up a hospital. What do you call them? Obstetrician hospital where women are having their babies. And I had a friend that I reported on last time who was having her baby amidst the bombings. And I can report to you that little Mark is 6 months old and he's doing fine. But what a disaster, a human disaster. I want to just share a couple of things I've heard from some of my friends in the last few days. I talk to people in Ukraine almost daily through messaging and emails and texts. And I have talked to live with a few of them, did a video with one of my friends, Benjamin, who's supplying goods to the military and to people supplying aid. But I got a friend from, I got a note from Marina. I've known Marina and Vova, her husband, for over 30 years, and their daughter, Alina. And this is what she says. She says, "Thank you, Randy, for your support and your prayers. In God we trust and hope. We will save our families and homes from Russian bombs. This night, rockets fell 1 kilometer from Alina's house." That's less than a mile, as you know. Alina is the daughter, and she was in our camps years ago in Zaporozhye. I love her. She's a sweet little girl. She's married, has a couple of little kids now. She was at home with her two kids. It's already 2.5 weeks that rockets have fallen in this area of Zaporozhye. So they will probably have to go west to Lviv again. The kids are frightened and crying. This is a story of a person I know. This story has multiplied hundreds and hundreds of times of families who are afraid, children who are crying. They're seeing bombs going off in their neighborhoods. They're hearing of friends when they go back to school, for those who can go to school, who've been killed or family members have been killed. We remember this all happening 7 months ago. And I'm afraid in America, we tend to forget. I pulled out of my driveway this morning. Quentin, you probably did the same thing. You pull out and you weren't really worried about a missile coming down and hitting you. Isn't that amazing? But that's what they have to worry about each and every day. As they go about their work, as they try to go shopping wherever their stores open, and they take their kids to school, they have to worry about being bombed and missiles coming. Just another note real quick here from Masha. She's in Kherson, and you've heard Kherson's got a lot of things going on. "I have an urgent prayer request. The Russian soldiers have captured my father, and we don't know where he is. We haven't known for a long time. Today we learned that the Russians are interrogating him, forcing him to sign a confession, and that our church in the village of Kherson cooperates with the countries that are supplying weapons to the military." So they're accusing them of cooperating with countries that are supplying weapons. This is a church, and a pastor. And so... "My father has been the interim pastor of the church since Brother Anatoly left the country on the first day of the war. Some people did leave. I had friends that left and have come back. They're back in Ukraine now. They left to see their family because they didn't know what was going to happen, and they've come back to Irpin, which was just almost destroyed. Anyway, Masha goes on, "The Russians robbed everything from the church, burnt the Bibles, the hymnals, the printed materials, and it was even an American church that didn't have the right to exist," they said. "They locked the church, took the keys, and they took my father. Please share this request with churches in Ukraine and beyond. Thank you for your prayers." Well, I get this kind of stuff all the time. And as you may have heard, Ukraine is facing all this stuff, but even in Russia, people are revolting in the streets. There's a revolution in Russia. We don't hear a lot about it, but you've seen some things. Thousands of people in the streets saying, this ain't going to happen. And those who are trying to be conscripted into the army are saying, we're not going to go. And there are lines 10, 15 miles long at the borders trying to drive out. Planes are booked at several $1,000 just to go to the next country. All the planes are booked up. People are leaving. They're trying to get out. And I had a note here just found this morning. The Swedish Peace and Arbitration Society said, we will take in Russians. Just know that you can come to Sweden. We'll take you in. We've made an assessment, and we want to get asylum in the UE for these folks that are leaving Russia. So that's a good thing. I mean, we hear a lot about refugees, and we don't think about the Russians themselves are becoming refugees. Certainly millions of Ukrainians have left and gone to Poland and Hungary and other places, but Russians are leaving. They don't want to fight this war. And the referendum again that Putin put them under is ridiculous. So I want to encourage you, as you get up in the morning, as you have your cup of coffee, coffee. My wife's trying to teach me to say coffee correctly. And I'm from Los Angeles. I'm not from Boston or New York. I have no idea why I say coffee, but my granddaughter will even tell me, "Papa, you say coffee." I said, "Okay." So I'm learning coffee. I'll have some coffee. But when you get up and have your cup of coffee, I have ADD too, so don't worry. I'll wander everywhere. And you get in your car and you're driving off to work and you're kissing your kids goodbye. Do me a favor. Think about Ukraine. Think about those mothers and fathers and brothers and sisters and family members who get up every morning and don't know if it's their last day. Now, none of us know when our last day is. The Bible says only God knows our last days. But we don't have, like I said earlier, missiles and bombs coming down on our heads. This is real, folks. I'm trying to tell my friends because we don't get it anymore. We heard the bad stories. And, oh, this is bad. This is going on day after day. And I can tell you, tomorrow I'll bring some more notes from friends because I get them every day. They need our help. They need our prayers. We're going to talk to Senator Talent later on about how much should America help. You know, I mean, we've given billions of dollars. Some people are pretty upset about that. I get it. I understand. But, you know, I'd rather help somebody being bombed than pay off a kid's student loan that should have paid off their own loan. We'll be right back right after this.
This is Larry Connors, USA.
Larry Connors, USA.
Let's get started with Joe Biden, who is either lying on the state of the U.S. stock market or it's the old Joe Biden senility. You can be the judge. Have a look.
The stock market, the last guy's measure of everything, is about 20% higher than it was when my predecessor was there. It has hit record after record after record on my watch.
Stocks now down $7.6 trillion since President Biden took office.
James, don't you just love the juxtaposition there? So give us your thoughts, James.
Well, apparently the price of gasoline's gone down, too. So, I mean, he's close to not there upstairs. It's quite frightening to watch the guy.
Oh, man. Frightening is not the word. So, did you hear that? I'm sorry. The stocks are doing better than they've ever done. Dude, are you kidding me? I've lost 20 to 25% of my retirement in the last few months under your leadership, Mr. Biden. I don't get it. That clip we just heard was from Sky News Australia yesterday. And here's another clip from USA Today.
I believe we can use these advances to do even more to make America stronger and a healthier nation. And so many of you know so much about this as well, and you're committed. And I want to thank all of you here, for including bipartisan elected officials like Representative Governor, Senator Braun, Senator Booker, Representative Jackie, are you here? Where's Jackie? I didn't think she was going to be here, to help make this a reality.
Where's Jackie, Mr. President? She's dead. Jackie died a month ago. You know her. She was a representative. And you even gave some word. So this concerns me a little bit. I don't know about you. People say, oh, don't make fun of the president because he's a stutterer. Okay, understood. A speech impediment is not the issue here. It's a brain impediment. It really is. And actually, we're going to talk about this later on in the second hour. But he's got some issues. Stocks are up and gas is down. No. Since you came into office, both of those are stocks are tragically down and gas prices are up. Yes, gas prices have gone down recently. And I think you'll find probably the closer you get to November, the better gas prices will be. Some other things will change. It's about manipulation. And I'm not just accusing Democrats. The Republicans do the same thing. They manipulate. I think we have a quote later about they want you to listen to what they say, not to what they do. And that's maybe true of a lot of us. But he recently stated that we need to honor the Holocaust. He meant to say something about the horror of the Holocaust, but he said, in Israel, to the Israel leadership, we're here to honor the Holocaust. He forgot the name of the Australian president while speaking to the Australian president. I had the clip. I'm not going to play it, but he basically says, and you, Mr. Down Under. I mean, come on, man. No, what does he say? Come on, dude. What's this big line? Come on, man. Yeah, come on, man. Yeah, oh, man, he's something. So, unfortunately, this is the guy who's got his finger on the nuclear button. This is the guy who's running our country. Yeah, he's probably not going to run for the next election, but it's a little bit scary. His current rating, here's a real quick clip that kind of talks about what his current rating is.
The midterms are just a little more than 2 months away, and Democrats and President Biden are feeling the pressure for sure, as a new ABC News Washington Post poll is showing that just 35% of Democrats would vote to keep President Biden on the ballot.
Yeah, so 35% of Democrats, this isn't Republicans speaking, 35% would like to see Biden back. You know what that means? That 65% do not. Yes, I'm a math wizard, I know. But 65% don't want to see him on the ballot. That's Democrats. I would say pretty much 100%, maybe 99%, there's that gal in Arizona, but 99% of Republicans don't want to see him on the ballot either. Who are you going to have? And I'm talking about who are you going to call? And I'm talking about Democrat and Republican. Where is the leadership in America? All we're doing is focusing on battling and fighting. What happened? I want to talk to Senator Talent coming up in a bit about this. What happened to politics in America, where we tried to do things for people, for the people? And it's sad. So we're going to talk to Senator Talent in just a bit. We're going to talk a little bit more about the what's going on in Florida with the hurricane and how we can help in that area. It's the same old, and it's a sad situation. Coming up, we'll talk a little politics with Senator Jim Talent. We'll be right back after this. Stay with us.
You can email Larry at LarryConnorsUSA@gmail.com. LarryConnorsUSA@gmail.com.
Some car dealers might try to take advantage of you. One quick way to spot it, look at the sticker price. Jay Ackerman told me, especially in these times, he wants to reward the generations of buyers and the new customers. So Ackerman Toyota sells every car at sticker price. No markup. What you see is what you pay. Ackerman Toyota at Hampton and 44. Ackerman Toyota for life.
Oh, smokes that lightning.
This is Larry Connors USA.
Larry Connors USA.
I think we all have a sense that our politics is too boisterous, too loud, too combative, too negative. It's bitterly partisan, unable to get things done. Our politics is bitterly partisan not because our parties are too strong, but because our parties are too weak. Interest groups and money have too much power in our politics, not because we regulate them too little, but that we regulate them too much.
Politics are combative. Well, let's find out. My special guest this hour is my good friend, Senator Jim Talent. Most of you know Senator Talent was a U.S. Senator from Missouri from 2002 to 7 and served 8 years in the House of Representatives, and he was elected to the U.S. Senate in 2002. Jim Talent, welcome to the program.
It is good to be here.
Great. And I should say, even more importantly, you're a founding member of the Mission Gate Prison Ministries and a friend of mine, and you have a beautiful wife, Brenda, and you live here in the St. Louis area. So thank you for joining us on the program.
So, as I said, it's good to be here. It's kind of you to to mention all that.
Yeah, well, you know, you're a great guy. I've known you for a long time. And, you know, you might have heard the clip where he says politics are combative. There's so many issues. It does seem that way. It seems like maybe back in the day, and maybe that's before our time, people tried to work together to get things done for the American people. And now it's just fighting for your own personal interests. What is your thought on, in general, on what's gone wrong with politics today?
Randy, it's a whole host of things. And now one of them is much broader division on issues, many of which were never even seen as political issues before. So the whole range of gender issues, for example, you know, when I went into office, it just, you know, it just was not an issue. Yeah. I mean, it was much less a political one. Then there's wide disagreement. Well, look, I don't want to go. Part of it is actual disagreement on the issues. And look, when you disagree with people, it's hard to come to compromise. Mm-hmm. Another is institutional decline. And I think particularly in the Congress, there's a whole host of reasons for that. But I'm a big believer that we need to re-energize the Congress and begin resolving issues there. That's one of the reasons we're seeing presidents, and not just this one, but the last few, you know, issuing so many executive orders.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, I refer to what Biden did with student loans as ruling by decree.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
I mean, he got up one morning and decided he was going to eliminate. Or shift, you know, the practical effect is to shift the debt, but just to waive all this, all these student loan debts. And, you know, that's a law. Mm. Only Congress can pass the law. So it's a whole host of things. And, you know, I'm hoping that we come through it. And I have a lot of faith in the people and the institutions of the Republic, and I think we will.
Yeah, well, I do too. By the way, I heard this morning that there's a lawsuit against that student loan.
Yeah, and if it gets into court, Randy, it's going to get struck down because he doesn't have the power to do that.
Right, right.
Yeah. I mean, that's something that you can't. It's a form of spending money and also changing the way a program, the structure of a program, and the legislative power of the federal government is vested in the Congress, not in the president.
Yeah, and you mentioned gender issues, and for me, gosh, I just read an article that there's a school. This is a true story. Where a young girl wants to be identified as a cat, as a cat. And so she's allowed to look like a cat, be on all fours. I don't know if they put in one of those little potty things for cats. I don't know. But it's gone insane. And so it worries me as a grandfather. My grandchildren are entering into school age now. And what are they being taught about who they are and the choices they make? I have a strong homeschooler coming on tomorrow's show, because is that where we're going? We can't even send our kids to public school?
Yeah, I mean, if you ask the advocates in that area what gender is, I've never heard a definition of it that had meaning. In other words, I think it's meaningless.
Yeah.
I don't mean that as a sort of descriptive adjective. I'm saying in the technical sense of it, it's without meaning.
Yeah,
and it's not only has it become a major movement, but it's being taught to kids, or I guess it's better to say that kids are being indoctrinated in it, and it's very harmful for them. So you can imagine. I mean, I went in the legislature in 1985. That dates me a little bit, doesn't it? You know,
we are 2 months apart. By the way, we're only 2 months apart, so don't talk about being so old.
Yeah. Well.
And I'm the older one.
Education's a big issue, obviously, for the legislature. The states have the primary control over education services for people. And if anybody had said, well, this is what we're going to be arguing about in the 80s or the 90s, we would have said they were crazy, what you just said. That's crazy.
It is. Well, I have to go back to where I read somewhere that God created man, male, and female. That's kind of where I come down on the gender issue. But that is not a respected text anymore, so I guess it doesn't matter.
Well, it also sums up biological truth. I mean, the human species reproduces sexually, not asexually, which means it's dimorphic.
Yeah.
And the sex you belong to is determined by what role your reproductive organs would play in that process, assuming they were healthy and you're young enough to do it. I mean, that's just that's biology 101,
that's,
right?
That's how it used to be, that's for sure, yeah. Hey, we just got together last weekend at a great event for Mission Gate Prison Fellowship. You have, this. That's a quick turn, isn't it? But it's important because I like to talk about prison reform, what we're doing to help in the prisons and things. And Mission Gate, you have been one of the founding members of their board for how long have they been around? Almost 40 years now?
Yeah, since 1985, I incorporated the ministry. I was as a lawyer, you know, and have been on the board on and off it. While I was in office, I was not allowed by the rules, you know, to be officially with any nonprofit. So I was off then. Yeah, it's the biggest prison ministry of its kind of which I am aware, and I don't have encyclopedic knowledge of it. But it's doing great work, and you sang a great song. It was last Friday, I think, wasn't it?
Yeah. I'm a priest and a prince. You know, a lot of these guys think they've blown it all, and I said, you know, we can relate. We all think we've blown it. We're not good enough, but God says you're a priest and a prince in the kingdom of God if you love me and follow me.
Yes, and we remember the words of Jesus, and he mentioned specifically, you know, you visited me in prison.
Mm-hmm.
And but this has been a very successful, you know, even in secular terms, ministry in the sense of really helping people turn their lives around and integrate into society and lead very happy and useful lives. And it's an example of what can be done when people try and do the right thing according to the right principles.
Yeah, we had Rick and Trish Mathis on the last time I was hosting, and we did talk about some of the things that, you know, the recidivism rate is so bad. What is it, like 70-80% go back in? But when they have a program like Mission Gate, and Mission Gate provides housing for men and women, for families, they provide help, they provide jobs, it's amazing all the things that they do, and that makes it really does make a difference.
Right, and it begins with the offender, as we call them, the person who's in prison, wanting to change. I mean, it's essential that on a deeper level. I mean, everybody who's in prison would like to be out of it, right?
Of course,
everybody would, and all of us would like to have a better life. But you have to make a decision of the will at a deep level that you really do want to change. Now, and of course, that can be done either for religious reasons, because as we preach the gospel and as people come to Christ, you know, they want to change. That's the reason they come to Christ. I think it also can be done without that, but you have to have that decision.
Mm-hmm.
Now, you're right. Then you need help, because when people get out of prison, I mean, they don't have anything. And many people in prison have alienated, you know, their families and their friends, and for good reason, and they'll tell you that. I mean, you know, they'll say, nobody trusted me.
Yeah.
Nobody wanted to help me, and they were right, because they'd abused the trust all those years. So they come out with nothing, and they need a place to stay. They need help with basics, you know, clothes, toiletries, everything. But if you surround them with a support structure and have high expectations and give them help in meeting those expectations, people can change.
Man, and they do. And then we saw the stories that the last guy who shared, his name happened to be Randy too the other night. Amazing testimony. This hulk of a guy covered with tattoos talks about totally just turning around, that God got a hold of him and turned him around. And that's what these banquets, I know they're fundraisers, and that's great. They should be. But to hear the stories of success from these folks, we have 30 seconds left. So I just want to say, Jim, thank you so much for what you're doing with Mission Gate, but what you're doing with a lot of other issues as you speak up and stand for truth, stand for the gospel. And I really appreciate you. And we need people like you to run for president. I know it's not going to happen.
You have the gift of encouragement.
Thank you, bro.
You can connect with Larry on Twitter at Larry Connors USA.
Here's exciting news for Cafe Napoli. Soon there will be Napoli Sea. Unique, exquisite. The finest, freshest seafood, lobster, crab, the best caviar. Napoli Sea will be next door to Napoli 3 on the streets of St. Charles. So it's going to be easy to satisfy your seafood craving. or the finest Italian food. Napoli C, coming soon. Joining Cafe Napoli St. Charles, Town and Country, and Clayton.
Well, since my baby left me, well, I found a new place to dwell. Well, it's down at the end of Lonely Street, that heartbreak hotel where I'll be. I'll be just a lonely baby. Well, I'm so lonely.
This is Larry Connors USA.
Larry Connors USA.
We know that this has been a big storm, and it's done a lot of damage as it is. It is going to continue to move through the state of Florida. You're going to see hurricane force winds in places in central Florida, perhaps. It's clearly a very strong tropical storm all the way until it exits the Florida Peninsula in the Atlantic Ocean.
Yeah, so we know the news that's been going on in Florida, and there has been one life that was been taken in that storm in Florida, Hurricane Ian. The governor, Governor DeSantis, had this to say also last night.
We're fighting over the meaning of our rights, the meaning of the Constitution. I think what strikes me as different about the contemporary period of polarization is our democracy is so unfiltered now, if you will, that many of the institutions that in the past have constrained our battles, as fundamental as they've been, have been weakened considerably. And I look to the 1960s as an important period that began to weaken some of the key institutions that have been critical to building a consensus in American politics. For a long time, until the 1960s, there was some obligation on the part of the president to stand above partisanship, to moderate conflicts. And as Theodore Roosevelt put it in a kind of a beguiling way, the president was supposed to be the steward of the public welfare. Presidents didn't completely live up to that, but there was an obligation to at least transcend to a degree partisanship. And I think that has changed since the 1960s. We've seen a merger of partisanship and executive power. And I think that's a very combustible combination.
Yeah, that was a great clip. It's not the one I thought it was with Governor DeSantis talking about Florida hurricane. But it does talk about, what Senator Talent said and what we talked about earlier, that the partisanship and all the things going on. Yeah, you got that clip from DeSantis? I don't know. We can try. He just was talking about, again, what's going on there. And most importantly, how we need to remember those who have been caught up in the storm. That's okay. We can move on. You have number 13? Yeah, we'll do. Let's go to number 13.
We could hold both of these houses. But we have to say the right things. And we have to note the Republicans always close well. Why? Because they find some new way to scare the living daylights out of swing voters about something. That's what they did in 2021, where they made critical race theory sound worse than smallpox. And it wasn't being taught in any public schools in America. But they didn't care. They just scare people. And at the end, the break point in American politics is not much different than it was in the 90s. That is, you still have to get those people. It's just that there's so many fewer. Because as the parties have gone more ideological and clear and somehow psychically intolerant, they pull fewer, the more and more people toward the extremes. But there's still some people hanging on there who are really trying to think.
It's nice. It's nice there's still people around trying to think. That was former President Bill Clinton. I'm sure you recognized his voice. I did not. Never mind. But he states that Democrats can win the midterms, but they have to say the right things. They don't have to do the right things, but they have to say the right things. And it really sums up politics today. It, as we said in the segment earlier with Senator Talent, that it's a lot of combustive issues. People aren't agreeing on anything. Executive orders coming down that really are against what the law has to say. I also love how President Clinton points out that Republicans are trying to scare people. Yes, like COVID and masks and gun control. No, that's the Democrats. I forget. Well, that's the problem. I think everybody's trying to scare everybody into making a decision rather than rationally working things out for the good of the American people. Let's just scare people into voting one way or another. Makes no sense to me today. I was going to just kind of finish up on a couple of little items that I saw recently, and that is the economy is always going to be an item. And I just read something. Americans have lost $4,200 in income. That's individuals. $4,200 a year in income under Biden. And the average household lost around $7,200, the Heritage Foundation says. And I just read this article on mortgage rates. Mortgage rates surged closer to 7% this week. And so buyers are backing off from purchasing homes. Talking about affecting the economy, I mean, it's huge. 3.5 points higher than they were from the start of the year. And again, we go back to that quote from President Biden. Well, everything's going well. Stocks are up. Gas is down. Mortgages are down. No, that's not the case. It's very sad, and I know you and I are feeling it. I told you we're feeling it. The dollar's strong, but you know what? That's not good for the rest of the world. Why is that? Well, because in determined to crush inflation, the Fed has, you know, continued to raise interest rates, and that has caused all kinds of issues for other countries, especially in Europe, because their value of their currency is going way down compared to ours. We'll talk more about that later on in the second hour about what's happening with our money. We're also going to talk about my friends at Smith & Wesson. They've been sued because their gun killed someone. I still don't understand that concept. You know, why aren't cars taken off the road? We need to be suing Ford and Chevrolet because their cars kill people. I think it's the person behind the gun, but again, just my thought. I'm not a politician. I'm not a, you know, person who knows how to make these kind of laws and everything else. We'll be back in the second hour, and we hope that you'll join us. Special guest Natalie Edmonds talking about Alzheimer's. We'll be right back.
This is Larry Connors USA.
Larry Connors USA.
You've been listening to Larry Connors USA. Please listen to previous and future podcasts.